Donations to the Lou Ruvo Brain Center at the Cleveland Clinic in Las Vegas. He was 85.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, it's Joe Peters, and we're getting ready to do our show. It's 4:03. It is Friday, Tuesday the 14th, and I'm here to do a Real Estate Matters show. We're going to talk about some various things about real estate, and at the same time, they've asked me that before I do that, I give the introductions and the weather. So let me do that so I don't get hollered at by our station master. I'm just kidding. Here we go.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So our weather forecast right now is 55 degrees. I got to admit, it doesn't seem that bad outside, but, you know, it's like between raining and sun, depends which way you look. Today, once again, is the 14th of May, 2019. It looks to be that today we're going to see a high of 55, which we're at, low of 41. Tomorrow it's going to get up and almost to 70 and low of 52, some sun in the morning. Friday, some more sun, 72, and Thursday and Friday, 72 and 75, and then Saturday, 72 again. So we're not going to go below 50 after tonight, and we're going to stay in the 70s for the next 3 or 4 days, a little bit of sun each day. So hopefully it's going to dry things out. Those rivers looked pretty full the last time I drove by them. Let me play a few more things, and we'll get started.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody out there!
Get involved!
Everybody just...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, once again, it's Joe Peters, and today is Tuesday, May 14th, and it's a little after 4:08 p.m., and we're getting started. Just heard on the way over that Tim Conway died. Man, he gave us a lot of laughs. I hope he has a good time where he's going. He gave us a good time where he's been. So, hey, Tim, thanks. Thanks. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about a few things that I think are of interest to our audience, and then go through a few of some topics that have come up on my blog that have brought a lot of attention that I think also would be of some interest. So first things first, I'm going to talk about real estate in general. You know, it's everybody understands real estate. When you start to talk real estate, everybody's either owns a house, wants to buy a house, wants to sell a house, wants to downsize, wants to upsize, wants to right size, whatever the right term is. Most people can relate to real estate, but most people cannot relate as to how we know the condition of the market. And it's really a pretty easy formula that we use. It's called month's supply. It's also called the absorption rate, but let's just call it month's supply. So how do we know how many months supply we have? And we can do this by price point. We could do this by town. We could do it by price point within town. If you're into a large development, we can actually do it by model of the house. So what we do is we take for a price point and we say, how many units do we have on the market? And I'll give you an example. If we were to look at Hunterdon County for the entire month, we would say, well, we have 900 free on the market. Why do you ask? Well, my second question is, how many of those went, how many houses did go under contract in the last month? Not necessarily closed yet, but in the last 30 days, what went under contract? And the answer to that's 192. Well, that's how we get the month's supply. We take the 903, and divide it by 192, and it tells us we have 5 months' supply. That's where that word absorption comes in. That means if nothing happened, if we just had this amount of inventory on the market and we sold it at the same pace, how long would it take to absorb the inventory? How many months' supply do we have? And the answer would be it would take 5. Well, that changes every month. It depends on the month of the year. It depends on the price point. It depends on the town. It depends on the price point within the town. The second thing we take a look at is, well, if in effect, and I've got this little chart, and if in effect on the chart we say 4 to 6 months is an average amount of inventory. That's when things are normal. Prices aren't necessarily going up. Prices aren't necessarily going down. They're probably holding, if you've got 4 to 6 months worth of inventory, you're in a normal status. But if you get to 7 or 8 months worth of inventory, we're probably seeing pressure on prices. And what pressure means is prices are dropping. People are having to mark their house down until they get a sale. And if we get under 4 months supply of inventory, it's just the opposite effect. We're getting price increases because we're getting multiple offers. So where do you want to be? We consider it a buyer's market when prices are dropping. We can consider it a seller's market when prices are rising. Total inventory divided by what went under contract in the last 30 days. For example, if we had 10 units available and 2 went under contract, we'd have a 5-month supply. If we had 10 available and only one went under contract, we'd have a 10-month supply, not a good number. If we had 10 and 4 went under contract, we'd have a 2.5-month supply, a very good number. That's how we judge how things are doing. And it's only good for the last 30 days, but it's a barometer when you go to list your house as to just where we're at. In Hunterdon County, for the last 30 days, we sold 192 of 900 free houses. That gives us a 5-month supply. We're in pretty good shape all the way up until you hit 500 to 600 is a 6-month supply, so that's the end of the normal cycle. When you get above 600, we get into 8-month supply. Above 700, we get into 15-month supply. Above 800, we get to a 13-month supply. Above 900, a 2.5-year supply. And a million and up, we've got a 4-year supply, 56-month supply. Where can you read these numbers? Go to jpeters.com, look up market updates, and I have one for Hunterdon and for Somerset. This is 100 numbers that I'm reading. The second thing we do is we take a look at this and we look at it by town. And we say, well, that's only the price point. We know we start getting soft around $600,000. Which towns are more active and which towns are not? Well, I can tell you the towns that are active are typically always active. They're Clinton, Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan. We're typically selling half our inventory right in that area. You get out of that area and you will find that the month supply sometimes grows pretty quickly. I'll give you a good example. We're looking at East Amwell. And I'll take a look at West Amwell. East Amwell's 10-month supply, West Amwell's 8-month supply. Kind of hard. It's an extremity of the county. Tewksbury, not an extremity. It's right where it needs to be, but it's high-priced inventory. 9-month supply. Lebanon Township, very rural, right above Tewksbury, actually elbow to Tewksbury. That's also got in Lebanon Township, a high-month supply of 7. If you take a look at Highbridge, 4-month supply. You take a look at Clinton Township, we're looking at 3- and 2-month supply. If you take a look at Raritan, 4-month supply. You take a look at Reddington, 4-month supply. So if you want to get a picture of where you're at, you got to look at the month supply for your price point, the month supply for your town, and if we're going to price a house, we look at the month supply for a price point within that town, four houses that are similar. Once again, 1 to 4 is increasing in price. It's a seller's market. 5 to 6 is average. And 7 to 10 higher is a buyer's market because we're starting to see prices drop. So, it depends on your location and it depends on your price point as to how active your market is. I'll give you an example of each. If you're in Clinton and you have $1.5 million house, it's probably still pretty slow, even though Clinton itself is pretty fast-moving market. If you're in Clinton and you have a $200,000 house, it's probably pretty fast. So it's not the town, it's the price point within the town. If you're out in Alexandria, one of our slower-moving towns, especially the far reaches, it actually touches the river right there where the old factory used to be, Alexandria is kind of hard to sell because it's kind of hard to commute to. It's about 10 miles past Clinton. When you get down just south of Milford and above Frenchtown, and we're probably looking at, in some instances, over a year supply out there in the higher price points. The other thing is, and I got to shut my phone off because it's making noise here. Okay, mission accomplished. It depends on your location. It depends on your price point. So I always do a what and a why. And here's the what happened. The what happened in Hunterdon County, we had 900 single-family houses, 200 sold, 30 days. We're experiencing a 4.5 or 5-month supply, up to about 700,000. And it begins to get softened quickly. And the net-net is that it's a normal market. That's what things are supposed to look like. Proximity to New York always drives our real estate. If you looked at the same numbers for Somerset County, we have 1,500 single-family houses. We sold 475. You divide 475 into 1,500, and you get a little over 3 months' supply. It holds all the way up to 900,000. So where 100 starts to get soft, and the 600s, Somerset doesn't get soft till you get up to about the 900. And then it softens quickly because there's just that much market for the higher-priced houses. So that's what's happening. Let me tell you about why. Why it's happening is what most people don't understand, and that's what my mission today is to inform you on. Nationally, and we're talking about jobs, we're sitting at 3.6% unemployment. Over 7 million jobs and over 6 million people unemployed. We're at full employment. Those 6 million people that are unemployed are either in the wrong place or have the wrong skills or have a reason they can't work. There's always about 2%, 3% unemployed. New Jersey has risen with the tide. We're sitting at 4.1% unemployment. I'm not sure we're doing anything right. It's just that the whole nation is doing well and New Jersey is doing well with it. I know we're trying hard, but I'm not sure between the change in gears of the two administrations that we've really got a control over it. But we're doing well. And we're adding better-paying jobs in New Jersey. They're going to be buying houses in the future. I think we said last month alone we are up 3.5% over the year before. That's good news. The other thing is that because we have more jobs than we have people, our minimum wage has taken care of itself. We don't have to change the law. I'm going to repeat that. We don't have to change the law right now because we're paying somewhere between $13 and $15 an hour for people to start because we're out of people. We're being competitive at it. You go and get a front-end checkout job in a grocery store. You get a job at a McDonald's. You get a job just about any retail establishment or hospitality. You're going to be making between $12, $13, $14, $15 an hour to start. So number one is jobs. Jobs is good news. Number two is available inventory, and it's sort of aligning Jupiter with Mars here. The picture's improved over the last 6 months. 2019 is surpassing 2018 so far. The under 500 market, the shelves are empty. Two-thirds of all our business is done down there. We could sell more if we had more. We're hampered by lack of construction on free market entry-level housing. By free market, I mean it's sold to people without income restrictions. The over 500K inventory is improving, and it's opening up some opportunities below. For example, we had a lot of inventory come on in the fourth quarter and the first quarter that were in between 5 and 700. So somebody can finally find the house of their dreams that they wanted to move up for that they couldn't find last year, and they move up, and that opens up a 450 below them. Somebody buys that, opens up a 250 below that. It may cost 3 or 4 houses to sell. Inventory is still at 47% of the rate it was at our peak in 2011. And growth in prices for this year is probably somewhere between 2 and 3%. The good news, it's growing. So we talked about two of the three things. We talked about inventory. We talked about jobs. Let's talk about interest rates. This is the best news going. We were at 4.9% at the first of the year. That was after those two fourth quarter interest rate hikes by the Fed. We're now at around 4.2. We were 4.1 just a month ago, so we've come up just a little. There's probably not going to be any more further increases this year. There were some hopes for a price interest rate decrease, but it doesn't look that like that's going to happen based on last week's news. But fear of further interest rates is what's driving the market. And if you combine that with the fact that prices are going up, it's a 1-2 punch, and people are trying to get a house before interest goes up and prices go up. So more of the whys. We have a big change going on in lifestyle. 70% of all of our houses have no children of school age in them. 3 out of 10 houses have a child of school age. 50% of all our houses don't have 2 people in them. And 30% are headed by a single head of household, female. Our lifestyle has changed. We don't need, in 7 out of 10 instances, that great big house anymore. The demand for larger housing is down and diminishing further. What our buyers really want are different than what they wanted a few years ago. They want to be closer to New York City, within 15 miles. We used to say you could get the Route 31 plus a mile and still commute to New York. That changed about 10 years ago. And when we went through the last recession, it sort of wound up you can get the 287 plus about a mile, which is Bridgewater, and still get back to New York comfortably. Quite honestly, right now, people don't want to be more than 30 minutes out of New York. That limits them to about 15 miles into New York City, and they're nowhere near 287 when they get that far. And they're looking for towns with mass transportation. They're looking for high-rise luxury. They're looking for rentals in a lot of cases. And we have some millennials moving in, and we know their lifestyle demands are different. That's what people are looking for. Yet, what are we building? We're building large, expensive, driven by old thinking and building code houses. Houses on an acre or more. Houses that are 3,000 or more square feet. Houses that are expensive, too expensive for the people today to buy. And too large for their needs. Many of our homeowners have seen their homes rise over the 10, have been in their homes over 10 years. This has brought in some interesting things because your equity is built up. The tax laws have changed so that some of the things that were deductible aren't deductible anymore. Some of the deductions have diminished, but most of the rate tables have diminished as well. So what they want has changed. And some more of the whys. Consumer confidence is at an all-time high. A little bit hampered by the crappy news we see on television every night, but the affordable index is in great shape. In other words, people can afford to buy homes. It's not like we're on the edge. We're looking at maybe 17%, 19% discretionary income right now. So there's an all-time high in consumer confidence. The affordability index in good shape. A little bit hampered by cloudy news, distorted news in a lot of cases. But what they want and what is available is just totally out of sync with each other. New construction in 2018 was more than 60% rental because of all the things I just went through. The building market is rising to meet the demand, and the demand is in high-rise luxury rentals. It's not in single-family, one-acre, 3,000-plus square foot. And that's what we're building. And quite honestly, they're selling before the older models of the same house, but the older models have taken a beating because of it. So, let's look to the future a little bit and say, what are we seeing today? Well, we're seeing empty stores. I mean, there's talk that the Phillipsburg Mall will be remalled. It will be made into a strip center with apartment living on both ends of it. Malls are either diminishing in capacity or, in some instances, going away. There's a mall in Ocean or Monmouth County that's been closed. We're seeing less student population and fewer schools in many areas. We're seeing empty mega mansions. I can't tell you. I've sat in $1.2 million to $1.6 million in both Watchung and Warren Township in Somerset County that have been vacant for a year. We're seeing empty industrial parks starting to be repurposed. The buildings are so old, 15, 20, 25 years old, they're knocking them down and building either new industrial parks that are more efficient for today, or they're building, in some cases, they're repurposing the property into apartment dwelling. Earnings are only two-thirds for the generation of today versus the generation that bore them. So they don't have the money that we used to have. They don't have those stock options we used to get. They don't have those big bonuses. That all went away. For that, other reasons, our social styles have changed. People are having fewer children and are having them later in life. The reason they're having fewer children is it's easier to in a lot of instances, and it's much more expensive to have children. $22,000 average daycare, that's $30,000 gross. So if you had two children, your first $60,000 of one of the two people would be going to daycare. And at the same time, people are living longer. We'd like to say lasting longer. I think I'm proof. We're still working in our 70s. That was unheard of not 25 years ago. And because of it, and because of the millennials who are now 19 at the youngest, the submillennial generation has just come into the workforce last year. We have five generations working together in a workforce. And I'm not saying they're working together harmoniously, but they're working together. And what are we going to see further as we move along? We're going to see the advent of the diversity change. We've seen it heavily in Somerset County, and it's only a matter of time before it appears in Hunterdon County as well. We're seeing foreign investments in our country by companies, and I use Santa Fe as an example. I think Nestle is another good one in Somerset County, but we're seeing people move in with different cultures. The impact of 5G communication is going to open vast new opportunities for us. We're going to be able to do things we never dreamed of before. We're going to eliminate that latency delay where you see the two people talking on the news and it takes a half a second for one to hear the other because that's the time it takes to go up to the satellite and come back down. 5G makes that disappear. We can do a lot of things faster, including perhaps self-driving cars. We can make things happen quick enough that we can have some technology in the near future that we couldn't afford to have or couldn't conceivably have with the old technology. The desire for different housing than we know today and yesterday. We're going to see people don't want what they used to have. People want high-rise. And I think this is the most more amazing statistic I've read, and that in 20 years, 75% of all the jobs that will exist aren't in existence today. We can't even understand what we're going to be doing 20 years from now because we haven't invented it yet, but we're moving at lightning speed. All of this will change the industry. So here's my forecast. Some of that's good news, some of that's bad news, some of that's confusing news. But here's what I see. We're in our 100-plus month of economic recovery. That's the longest streak ever. That's good news. The bad news is it won't last. There's a correction some 24 to 36 months out. And that correction will not be severe like last time. It will be a normal correction because we have put so many checkpoints in place. It can't happen again what happened in 2005 to 2010. And when we see that correction, it will slow things down a little. We'll sell less houses. We'll have less increase in price. We don't see the prices going down. We just don't see them going up as quick as they have been. But it's not going to be what happened 10 years ago. It's going to be a natural correction. So what I'm trying to do is paint a picture of what's happening, why it's happening, and what we see coming. And the thing I didn't mention is that if the economy slows down 24 to 36 months out, real estate will see it 12 months before that because people will not feel comfortable enough to make a decision about a large ticket item like a mortgage. So what I've tried to do is paint a picture for you of what's happening, why it's happening, what we see coming. And as a result, you're probably saying, where do I fit into this whole thing? Well, I think one of the things, if you're in buy mode, it couldn't be a better time. You're going to see increase in interest, and you're going to see increase in prices. Now's the time to buy. If you're in a sell mode, it couldn't be a better time. Especially at the higher end. We will probably not get for the foreseeable future the prices in the higher end inventories that we're getting this year. It's a robust year. It may be our best year since we had our economic recession back in 2005 to 2010. The time is now. I do have a newsletter available. If you go to jpeters.com and if you go to contact Joe. You can write me a note and ask for a copy of it, and I'll put you on a mailing list. And all of this information that I just went through will start coming to you once a month. So not only will you see it as it exists today, but you will also see it on a monthly basis so that you can see how it's changing. Okay, that was what I wanted to cover up front. What I want to cover going forward is a bunch of things that I think are relevant because they all fit into this picture. The first is your fabulous new dream home is now available. It wasn't a year ago. Over the last several years, many baby boomers have undergone a metamorphosis. The children have finally moved out, and they now can dream about their future. For many, a change in lifestyle might necessitate a change in the type of home they have. That two-story, four-bedroom colonial with three bathrooms no longer fits the bill. Taxes are too high, utilities are too expensive, cleaning and repair are too difficult when they decide to travel to be with friends and family. Locking up the house is too time-consuming and worrisome. Instead, a nice ranch, two to three bedrooms, maybe all on one floor, two baths, might better fill. And the challenge is many boomers have faced when trying to downsize is they couldn't find what they wanted. But the average number of years a family stays in our house increased by 50% since 2008, somewhere to around 12%. It used to be 8. 12 years used to be 8. That's starting to change. According to the U.S. Department of Housing, homes rose to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 692,000. And that was the sale of newly built. We don't build a lot of new and 100 in the summer sanity. The great news is that most of those homes were sold at the lower end of the price range. The median price for all houses across the country is 302. Our median price in 100 is about 380. Our median price in Somerset is about 475. Bottom line, whether you're a boomer thinking about selling your old house in order to buy a new house, if you are a boomer looking to sell your old house and find a new, this could be the perfect time. For the first time in a long time, we're seeing inventory on the market. Second point I want to make, home buyers are very optimistic about home ownership. It's not that people don't want to own a home anymore. It's that for the last 3 or 4 years, they couldn't find what they wanted to buy. When you consider buying an item, we naturally go for research and process prior to making our decision. We ask our friends, family members who have made similar purchases about their experience, and we get opinions and insights. We read reviews online. There's no difference when you're considering buying a home purchase. Most home buyers start by listening to the news and see what's being said about the real estate market. A lot of times they're getting false news there. They check with family and friends about their experiences, and they spend time online reading reviews. The challenge is that the comments from the news and those closest to us can contradict the data and the reports. One source says one thing, while another source says completely different. Confused buyer never buys. This is the group of home buyers that are not allowing. There is a group of home buyers not allowing the comments about upcoming recession to interfere with their decision about buying a home. Nearly 70% of home shoppers this spring think the U.S. will enter into a recession in the next 3 years, but that doesn't stop them. Despite the fact that they see this happening, they generally express confidence in a future recession will be better than the 2008 one for the housing market. The FET report provides more insight from this survey. Nearly 30% of active home shoppers surveyed expect the next recession to begin sometime in 2020. 56% of the shoppers believe home prices have hit their peak. 41% believe that housing is far better than it was in 2008. 45% of shoppers feel at least slightly more optimistic about home ownership. And 33% reported no impact on their feelings about home ownership. Home buyers are aware and are making decisions with their eyes wide open. 36% of the shoppers expect the next recession to be harder on the housing market than the last recession. I don't know where they're getting their information from. A stark contrast to the years leading up to the last recession, when irrational exuberance, was more common, and yet another recession, expect that we will have a downturn, will be very different to the housing market than the last. The bottom line is, we're considering buying a home. Let's get together. The time couldn't be better. Whether you need to sell the one and resize, or if you need to find one from scratch, give me a call. Joe Peters, 908-238-0118. When you go to make a house, let's talk about what the benefits are from a 20% down payment. First of all, you don't have to put 20% down. That's why we're talking about this. You could put 3% down. You got a certain types of mortgages, you get away with zero down. And it depends on the price point and the location, but there are some 0% down mortgages. But most people put at least 3% down. But if you put 20% down, your interest rates will be lower, because that means you've got a less risky loan. You'll end up paying less for your home. The bigger the down payment, the less you're going to pay. So you've saved it and spent it on a down payment versus not saving it, or saving it and not using it for the down payment, and then your mortgage amount will be higher. Your offer will stand out as a competitive offer. Can't say enough about that. When we get into multiple offers and somebody's got a 3%, somebody's got a 10%, somebody's got a 20%, the more percent down is usually the better offer and will be accepted. Cash always wins. If you're up against cash and you're only putting 20% down, you still don't have enough. So you want your offer to be outstanding. You don't have to pay private mortgage insurance or PMI. That's an important fact, because if you pay PMI, you're probably paying 0.75% of mortgage, or in round numbers, another 0.75%. That could be, based on your buying power, the difference between buying a $500,000 house and a $450,000. You may want the $500,000, but if you're not putting enough money down, you may be able to only afford a $450,000. And we should talk a little bit about the effect of interest rising on pricing. If a house, we were 4.1% last month, 4.2%, let's say it goes to 5.2% this time, the end of the year, next year. The difference between that, the 1% between 4.2% and 5.2%, will take away 9% of your buying power. 9% of your buying power means if you could afford a $500,000, now you can only afford a $455,000. At the same time, that house probably went up 3 or 4%. So not only can you only afford a $455,000, you probably can only afford a $440,000 or $435,000, depending on how price. The more popular price points are going up the most, so you might even be down to a 4.25%. There's a lot of components to this, and you need a specialist who can help you figure them out. It's not rocket scientist, but there's a lot of moving pieces. And one of the first things I do with people is I just sit down and counsel them for an hour. I try to understand where their head is at, what they're trying to do. I try to explain to them the moving parts of making a purchase decision. And I usually have them talk to a credit person, either an internal or external mortgage person. A lot of times they've known a mortgage. Everybody sort of comes in with a letter in their pocket. I'm already pre-approved. Well, I got to make sure that your pre-approval means they pulled a credit report and they've looked at your assets and your earnings, because those three things add up to you being pre-approved. Somebody, if you're going to write an offer, wants to see that you're pre-approved. They won't negotiate with somebody who can't negotiate with them. They will only make a counteroffer back to you if you are pre-approved. And pre-approved means they've done those three things: pulled your credit, looked at your earnings, looked at your assets, and come up with an opinion of here's where you should be. And they write a letter saying, we've done those three things, and this person is qualified to make you an offer at this level. Now, You go through the negotiation. Let's say they offered 440. You decide it's going to be 460 at the end of the day. They got to go back and get it renewed to be the newer price. We always try to make the offer and a pre-approval match each other. It takes 60 days by the time we go through attorney review and we inspect and we negotiate the inspection items and we, in effect, have a closing. Right before the closing, guess what happens? The financial company that you're borrowing the money from is going to go back and take one more look at your credit score. Make sure you didn't buy anything in between. They're going to take another look at your assets to make sure they're still there. And they're going to take a look at your job. They're actually going to call and make sure you're still with the company you said you're with. It's only common sense. Nobody's going to lend you $500,000 and not check on those three things. So we tell people when they first come in, you're in a 60-day hold pattern. Don't buy as much as a barbecue on your credit card. We do not want your credit score to change. In a lot of instances, we'll see that they've got too many open credit cards, and we'll say you would be better off taking a little bit of your down payment money and pay off these three tiny credit cards, and your credit score will go up 20 points. You'll get a better interest rate. That's the kind of a thing a mortgage person can work with you on. Lack of inventory continues to impact housing market in Hunter and Somerset County. I can't say this enough. We're sitting at 47% of the inventory we had just 7 years ago. Yet we're selling more houses than we sold 7 years ago. And why is that? At 7 years ago, we were selling a house every 5 months. Now we're selling a house every 50 days. We're selling them quicker. In a lot of instances, if the house is super clean and at a very popular price point, it gets sold before it comes on the market. Somebody goes out to list it and says, hey, I can just represent my buyer and sell your house to them at a discounted rate. And the house never makes it to the market. So we're seeing inventory improve. And we're seeing inventory improve in the areas where it needs to improve. But we're not seeing enough of an improvement. And by that I mean we still need more inventory, and we need more inventory in our more popular price points. And because we're not bringing inventory on in our more popular price points, a lot of, especially millennials, are gravitating to the east to be nearer to New York City, which is probably where they're working if they got a four-year degree. And they're spending more as a percentage of their income on those rentals. And as a result of that and other things they're buying, like more expensive cups of coffee, paying more at the dry cleaners, paying more for groceries, I got to guarantee you, you pay more for all three of those if you're living in a city within a mile or two of the New York City area than you are out here in Hunterdon or Somerset County. Because you're spending all that money, you're not accumulating the kind of money you may need to put that 20% down. As a matter of fact, you're probably not saving anything. At best, you've got some savings, but a meager savings, and it's not increasing. That's an issue. So, as I said, you've got a lot of moving parts. The good news is we're in really great shape whether you're a buyer or seller right now for you to make a decision. If you're a buyer, we're never going to see interest rates this low again in a foreseeable future. You know, when I say never again, I'm not looking past 3 or 4 years. But we're not going to see it at this level in the foreseeable future. That's a buyer. If you're a seller, and you're especially at the high end, and you need an exit strategy on your house just the way you need it in the stock market. Everybody knows when to buy a stock. Nobody knows when to sell a stock. You, in effect, need to know when to get out of that property. And I can be the first one to tell you that if you're in a stratosphere, and that in Hunterdon County is over 700, and in Somerset County it's over 900, you're not going to see this year's prices for a while. Think about it. We may tread water for a year, and there may be a year of this good riding the wave economic situation. But eventually that economic recovery adjustment takes toll. And when that takes toll, we'll sell less houses. Your house will be harder to sell. you'll get less for your house. You may never get the price in a foreseeable future that you can get today. Because today there is interest rates. There are buyers out there. Things are in decent shape. But as we go forward, that may not be the situation. Let me tell you something that happens too, that it's very natural in that people will put their house on the market. They'll try to get what Lucy down the street got last year without doing any scientific exploration, and they'll come up with a price. And that price will be a little bit inflated. But as a realtor, sometimes you give them a little rein, and you say, look, we could try that for 30 days. I'm recommending, let's make up two numbers. I'm recommending $680 for your house, and you're thinking $750. I'd be willing to take the listing at $750, but at the end of 30 days, we have to take a price adjustment if you don't have an offer. And at the end of 60 days, we may have to take another. Because the longer it sits on the market, the harder it's going to become to sell because the days on market builds up. And as the days on market build up, and it's a key market indicator, it makes your house look less and less appealing. And at the same time, you may be a natural 680. Natural. That's where your house should be sold based on the sales I've seen there in the last 6 months. Same type house, same square footage, same features, same neighborhood. It looks like your house should sell around 680. Based on that, we probably list it at 700 and look for in a 680 range. But a lot of the houses that you're competing against were 900 2 years ago and couldn't sell, and they dropped down to 800. They pushed some 800s down to 700s, and they pushed some 700s down to 600s. So you may be a natural 680, but you may be competing within just a few dollars of your asking price with houses that used to be $100,000 more. And when a buyer goes out and looks at this, a lot of times it's house lust. They make the decision on the bigger property for just a few bucks more or the same price, and you lose out. It's really discouraging when you see that happening because you're doing everything right. Your realtor's done everything right, but the market is challenged. And if your market is challenged at the price point that you're in, then you need to make some tough decisions. If you don't have to sell your house, and I hear people tell, well, I don't have to sell, well, then you shouldn't put on the market at all. Because if you take that attitude, you're just going to spend a lot of time and money, and it's not going to sell. If you do have to sell, that's a different situation. And let's go through some of the reasons that you might have to sell your house. Your job disappeared. Your marriage dissolved. Your children are gone. You don't need a house this big anymore, but you're still trying to get 5-year-ago, 10-year-ago pricing for it. You're going to lose in the long run because what you're going to buy is also depressed. And if you make a decision to sell a $500,000 house because you want to buy a $600,000 house, but you think it should be $550,000, well, a $600,000 should probably be $650,000. You're going to gain more on the buy end than you're going to lose on the sell end. Hard to convince people of that because they're very emotionally involved in their house. And as I said up front, everybody can relate to buying and selling a house because everybody's been thinking about selling theirs or buying another or both. And when it becomes your turn in the saddle, it's really hard to make logical decisions because people tend to make emotional decisions and then rationalize it with logic. But there's no emotional decision in setting the wrong price for your house. If you set your house price too high, no one is going to give you an offer on it. And if no one is giving you an offer on it, it's not going to sell. You're not the one that sets the price on your house. The buyer sets the price on your house. And if you don't meet that buyer at a reasonable point in time, they're going to just go on to another house. Then I get people telling me, well, the kitchen's nice and clean, but it's not new. It's challenged. It's a 20-year-old kitchen. Yeah, but it's clean. Now, whoever buys the house can put their own kitchen in. Well, then you need to price the house accordingly because what will happen, and let's just pick a number. It's a $500,000 house, and the person buying your house is going to go look at two other $500,000 houses that afternoon. And one of them has new kitchens and bathrooms. The other one's 5 years newer, has a reasonable kitchen but not as old as yours. You come in third place. Buyers never think past first and second. They could go out and look at 20 houses in the course of 2 or 3 weeks, and they could have a number one and a number two in mind. And if you're a number three, you're not even being considered. You've got to have somebody help you professionally assess the value of your house. You need to set the price at a price that people are willing to pay. And then you have to judge how many showings you get as to whether or not the house is overpriced or not. It's not easy when it's you, because it's the biggest investment probably that you've ever made. And you want to maximize it. But I'm going to repeat myself. You don't set the price on your house. The market sets the price on your house. You get to decide whether or not you'll keep that market, sell it for the market price, but you don't get to set the price. That's set by the market. Think about it more as a used car. You went out and you looked in a blue book, and Kelley Blue Book said a 2-year-old Chevy Impala is worth $22,000. And you go to the lot, and this guy's asking $26,000. And you go to the next lot, and he's $22,000. You go to the next lot, he's $23,000. You go to the next lot, he's $21,000. You're never going back to the $26,000. The guy's smoking whatever over there. You're going to buy one of the other three cars based that everything else is equal on them. I've been doing real estate in Hunterdon and Somerset County now professionally for 16 years. I split my business evenly, both counties. I do the eastern part of Hunterdon County, and I do Somerset County all the way over to Warren Watchung. I do get up in the hills. I have one listing now in Basking Ridge. I guess it's really in Bedminster, and I have a purchase coming up in the Basking Ridge area. So I do get up there. But figure from Clinton to Warren, Watchung, right down 78, plus or minus 5 to 10 miles. That's my sales territory. And I know the territory rather well. I'm talking to people every day within it. I sell, on the average, 2 to 3 houses a month, either through listing it and selling it or purchasing. I work with both buyers and sellers. I get a really good feel for a couple of things. I get a good feel for property values because I'm in about 20 houses a week. And I get a really good feel for people because I've worked with people all my life. And one of the things I try to understand up front is to whether or not the working relationship between the customer and myself is a good, comfortable working relationship. If it isn't, I use a fishing analogy. There's really three parts to fishing. One is using the right bait. The second one is getting a fish on a line. And then the third one is getting him in a boat and decide whether or not you want that fish or not. Sometimes I go through a lot of work with a customer and find along the way that there's just some irrationality or some chemical imbalance that we're not clicking, and I decide not to take the offer. It's kind of hard because I've worked hard on it and I'd like to list their house. But if I can't work with the person, there's a lot of nice people out there that I can work with. My name's Joe Peters. I do residential real estate across both Hunterdon and Somerset County. If you're thinking about buying or thinking about selling in 2019, we should be talking right now. I can be reached at area code 908-238-0118. And if you call and I'm not already talking to somebody else, you may be surprised that I pick it up and talk to you. If I am talking to somebody else, I'll be back to you within a half hour to an hour. I am very professional in what I do. I'm very successful in what I do. And you can take a look at my references on Zillow and see what some of my clients have said about me. My style is that of a professional, determined style controlled by technology so that I don't miss any of the points. The result to you is a smooth, not roller coaster style ride through your buying process or through your selling process, and it works. It works for me. Everybody's got their own style of doing things. My style is using my business and my technology professionalism to help you achieve your goals and dreams in residential real estate. I do that across the two counties, and I'd be very, very happy to help you. Give me a call, 908 908- 248-0118. Joe Peters, Coldwell Banker. I appreciate you tuning in. I'm going to play my introduction and commercial one more time. And if you give me a call, I'll be happy to talk to you. Thank you. I'll be back next week with a guest.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
In 2018, American energy exports alone brought down our trade deficit by $215 billion.
President Trump delivering remarks on infrastructure and energy in Louisiana. The president continued.
And we're pursuing a vision not just of energy independence, but of American energy dominance. When we get those pipelines approved, you'll see it go up 30% and 40% from already number one in the world.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he will not interfere in the Senate Intelligence Committee investigation into Russia's effort to influence the 2016 elections, even after the Republican chairman subpoenaed Donald Trump Jr.
None of us tell Chairman Burr how to run his committee. I asked him to undertake this investigation of Russian collusion a couple of years ago.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee. Receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now.